This week, I was reading the USA Today, and there was a headline. And you don't see churches in the headline too often, so there was a headline there, and I thought, wow, this looks pretty good. So I read it, and it said there's a 130-year-old church in Louisville, Kentucky. And I thought, wow, an old church, 130 years. And it said it was hosting a drag queen gospel of gospel hits concert. And it invited six of the most prominent drag queens were invited to participate. How does that make you feel? It's an interesting thing. And I'm kind of setting you up for this. But Christians are so often outraged by this. We're just outraged. And so all the gender, transgender, all that stuff, it just outrages us. And you know, there's a certain amount of that that's understandable. But I've noticed something. And that while we're very upset by certain sins, we are completely open and accommodating to other sins in our lives. Started a series, and I said it's the importance of our words. In the first week, I said our tongue must be controlled. We looked at James. And then I said in the second week, we must not lie to one another. And last week, I said avoid certain speech patterns like murmuring and swearing and vulgar language and cursing. And today I want to talk about cousins. Two things that we feel very little conviction about at all. I want to talk about gossip and slander. The tracks of gossip and slander are littered with just careless and idle chatter of God's people. Webster says that gossip is a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts as a rumor or a report of an intimate nature. I'm going to boil down the nuances, and I'm going to define gossip as sharing information that damages another person's reputation with those who have no need to know. It may be completely factual or not. Gossip. Did you hear? Did you hear that? Did you hear about? Wow. Well, I shouldn't be telling you this, but we talk like that, and we do it often. Can you keep a secret? Wow. R.G. Letourneau, owner of a large earth-moving equipment company, often told this story. He said, we used to have a scraper known as the Model G. Somebody asked one of our salesmen what the G stood for. The salesman was pretty quick on the trigger, and he replied, well, I guess the G stands for gossip. Because like gossip, this machine moves a lot of dirt, and it moves it fast. How you and I see gossip and how the Word of God and God Himself sees gossip is completely different. I want you to start by opening your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. In verse 13. Here Solomon writes this. He said, he who goes about as a, I'd love the translation here, talebearer. How many of you used talebearer in the last 50 years? A talebearer. It's gossip in Hebrew. But it's talebearer to the translators. He who goes about as a gossip reveals secrets. But watch. But he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. See, this isn't just a matter of one who gossip reveals secrets, but a trustworthy person conceals a matter. In other words, sharing information can really damage people. We'll see this all the way through the scriptures. Go with me to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 in verse 28. A perverse man spreads strife, And the slander separates intimate friends. I want you to see something here. Slander and gossip here. A perverse man spreads strife. That's God. He's saying that if you spread it, you're perverse. Wow. You don't consider yourself. We know perverse people, don't we? That's the people at the concert in Louisville. Those people are perverse. God says we are. You spread strife. See, this is an interesting thing. His perspective and ours are so different when it comes to this. Chapter 18, verse 8. It's not just spreading it. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. Oh, by the way, in Greek especially, and in Hebrew, both words used for gossiping, but the Greek's really profound. The Greek word starts out, psst, psst. Interesting. In fact, every time you look in the Bible, the word whisper is used, it's got a negative connotation to it. Whispering. See, sometimes if you're going to say something and gossip, you're talking in a normal voice, but when you want to talk to someone about something juicy, I go right down and start talking to them like this. But there's something else here. The words of the whisperer are like dainty morsels. Hershey kisses. Wow, that's good. I love that. Notice, they go down into the innermost parts of the body. What's that mean? We like to hear gossip. Just like we like Hershey kisses. We like it. I like it when you tell me these things. It's not just a matter of telling it. It's a matter also of listening to it. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Now, this is as clear as could be. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. P.L. Stem in Hebrew. Commandment. Like the Ten Commandments, it's a commandment. Do not associate with a gossip. How many times has someone come up to you and you heard them say, I want to tell you something, go, I'm sorry. God's commanded me not to listen to this and not associate. We don't ever do that, do we? No, we don't ever. Wow. God says it. Do not associate, he said, with a gossip. Wow. In other words, when someone comes up and gives us gossip, we should think that's a red flag. Someone's saying something here. I need to be careful here. The New Testament is interesting in its own right. I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is a famous chapter, but not for this verse. It's famous because this is the chapter about Paul's thorn in the flesh. Paul had such a physical ailment and so much pain, he said Satan had given it to me to buffet me. He had a thorn in the flesh. He entreated God three times to please remove it. And God finally said, no. He said, no, I'm not going to remove it. Because Paul, when you are weak, I am strong in your life. Paul had a pride issue, apparently. So he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul said, okay, I'm done with it. I will not ask you again. And he probably carried that thorn in the flesh the rest of his life. And so that's what makes the chapter famous. But down here, Paul's talking about maybe wanting to come to the Corinthians. And he says in verse 20, for I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, and now slanderers, gossip, arrogance, and disturbances. In the past, if you've heard me, I've said, it's not just my opinion. I do think it's a fact. I may exaggerate a little bit, but Corinth is the worst church in the New Testament. if a church could do something wrong, the Corinthians did it wrong. It doesn't really matter hardly what it is. They're just a terrible church. But Paul, and by the way, if you want to know, well, how terrible was this church? Well, again, let me use you a contrasting sin. This church had a young man in it who was having a sexual relationship with his mom or his stepmom. We're not sure. The Greek doesn't help us too much here. And he was parading it. And the church at Corinth said, it's fine. That's fine because where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So that's fine. And Paul said, what? What in the world are you thinking? Paul said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, though. I am going to turn that one over for the destruction of his flesh. That's a sin unto death. That his soul will be saved in the day of the Lord. Well, apparently, when that was read to the congregation, the young man repented. Okay? And so, in 2 Corinthians, Paul alludes to the fact that now the Corinthians don't want to take him back. He's repented of his sin, but the Corinthians aren't sure that they want him back after before they applauded what he did. That's how wrong the Corinthians are about everything. So Paul could talk all about terrible things that the Corinthians do. Remember, they abused the Lord's table to such an extent that some of them were dead and many of them were sick because they got drunk. Not the Lord. That's who the Corinthians are. But Paul says here that I'm afraid that you may not be what I wish to find when I get there because there's going to be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, and slanders and gossip. Wow. See, we would look at the young man and say, man, that young man is perverted. And we would look at the gossip and shrug our shoulders. Paul just pointed it out. I'm afraid I'll find gossips among you. What an interesting thing for him to say in that way. Tony Evans says this, gossip is a surefire way to destroy relationships. It is one of the deadliest tools in the enemy uses. Keeping in mind that gossip never seeks to help or heal, even if the words are couched in concern. A gossip enjoys disseminating information that paints someone else in a bad light or paints the gossiper in a greater light for being privy to something that most people are not. Paul worries about it. You see, the thing about gossip, it has legs, it has wings. Gossip spreads. It's like a disease. And boy, it has definite consequences. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. Chapter 1 is a very famous chapter in the New Testament. The reason is, Paul is going to tell you why God is going to give his wrath against this world that rejects God. That's what he's going to say. And Paul's going to say, and they are without excuse because God has revealed himself through creation and conscience to them, and they ignore it, and they don't care. So he says, and how God is going to deal with the world is this. He's going to do three different steps, each one more intense than the last one. In other words, he said, God is going to give them over. In other words, when you reject God, what God often does in life, he just takes one step backwards from you. And then there's, in culture, a second step. Then in culture, there's a third step. He said, oh, God will get them over. So let's, as we look at this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Why? They suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through that which has been made. They're without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor God, not honor him as God, or give thanks. But they came futile in their speculations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. God says, they not only rejected me, they set up worshiping everything but me. They worship creatures. They worship themselves. They worship anything, but they don't worship me. First stage. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that with their bodies, their bodies would be dishonored among them. The first time God steps back is God gave them over to the lust of their hearts. You want to have a much more impure culture? God says, fine, I'll step back. I'll step back and allow that to happen. Then he says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, step two, God gave them over to degrading passions. Now, this isn't just lust of their hearts. This is now degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. In the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Second stage, homosexuality. First stage, impurity, moral impurity. Next stage, homosexuality. God said, I step back again. Third stage. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not popular. So they went from lust in their hearts to degrading passions, now to a depraved mind, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. And here it comes. They are gossips and slanderers. What? I thought step two was the worst. No. Step three is the worst. Gossips, slanders. Now notice what God says about people who do this. Gossips, slanders, haters of God. Not indifferent to God. Hate God. Insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, they give hearty approval to those who practice them. Does it appear as though maybe God considers gossip and slander as an absolutely horrible, terrible offense? Yes. Yes. Here's the real question, though. Do you? I mean, you know there are terrible things going on out there. And God may say, and there are some terrible things going on in here. You see, he sees it different, and we don't. We're so used to it. Wow. Slander, I think, is different than gossip. I would call slander gossip's evil cousin. And that is, gossip speaks about someone's actions and what they did, and slander speaks of someone's character and who they are. It's got an intentional meanness to it when we slander people, which we should not. Go with me now to Psalm 15. Psalm 15. A Psalm of David in verse 1. David says, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? What's he mean? Who can have fellowship with God? Who can walk with God? See, that's what he's talking about. He's using the poet's imagery here of a tent and a hill. He said, who can be with you? He said, he who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart, and he does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt, and he does not change. In other words, if you're a slanderer or a gossip, don't delude yourself. You don't walk with God. That's what God's saying. You don't walk with me. You better certainly acknowledge that it's sin in your life. Because God clearly does. We must not gossip. We must not slander. Now, there are several myths that we're good at this, by the way. So there are several myths that we propagate in order to cover it the best we can. So I want to deal with a few of those myths right now. Here's the first myth. Gossip is primarily a woman's issue. Been propagated for hundreds of years by men. Yeah, it's a woman's issue. And they claim we have biblical support, because when Paul wrote to Timothy twice, he talked about women gossiping. And they said, well, that's it. Then that's a women's issue. Every other time he ever talked about it, he was addressing either men or men and women, but never just women. You see, men don't gossip. We shoot the breeze. Yeah, that's not gossip. We're solving problems. No. It's not a women's issue. It's a person's issue. Another one we say, if their information is true, it's okay. This is a big one. If it's true, then it's okay for me to tell people. Scripture says, let us pursue the things which would make for peace, for the building up of one another. Gossip doesn't do that. Gossip tears down people. You see, that's not okay. The Bible says there's a lot of potential harm in gossip. Now, one of my favorites, it's a real important one to Christians. I've heard it over the years. Okay? It's okay to gossip if it's a prayer request. I want to give you a prayer request. We need to pray for so-and-so. Do you know what they're doing? I want to tell you what they're doing. We need to be praying for them. Wow. What are we doing? You need to be praying if you heard it, but you don't spread it. My goodness. And the last one I'll say. Well, you got to understand, Pastor, the people I tell won't tell anyone else. That's what the person that told you thought. And you already are. You can't do this. You see, what must we do? I think the first thing we have to do is confess it as sin to God. We have to acknowledge it. It's sin. I'm looking at Psalm 13. It'd be a good way for us, the first two verses. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take the counsel of my soul, having sorrow in my heart all day long? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? David is just confessing. I've sinned. He says, against you and you only, I've sinned. You have to acknowledge it. And I think that's one of the biggest problems we have as Christians. We really don't. The other thing is, when you know something is of a very sensitive nature and could have a big impact on people, pray about it and leave the matter to God. He knows. You want to lift up your brother in Christ. We should pray for one another. I don't need to spread it. I just need to pray. Thirdly, go directly to the person with a spirit of meekness and restoration. You heard something about it? By the way, you should always do that. Why? What you heard may be a lie. What you heard may be a half-truth. With meekness and restoration. That's what Paul says to the Galatians. You who are spiritual, restore the one in sin. Go with them with humility. How can I help you? Why don't I pray for you? Do you want to talk to me? Rather than spreading it to someone else that we know. A very important one, I think. Examine your motives. Why are you doing this? I believe that most of the time when we gossip, we do so to make ourselves feel better. See, if I can tell you something really terrible about that guy, that makes me feel better. You see, what's your motive? Why do I want to expose it? Why do I want to gossip about somebody? Share the info, by the way, if you ever have it, it's sensitive of a certain nature, to someone in spiritual authority. And say, I've heard this, you could see if it's true, but maybe you can go and help. That's the way we should probably react. And always seek to protect someone who is a target of slander. Be very careful. By the way, this is epidemic in our culture and is certainly prevalent in the church. What do we call all this kind of thing, by the way, with the new online internet phenomena? Bullying. Cyberbullying. What do bullies do? They slander. That's what they do. They just slander people. And by the way, it's extremely painful for people, especially young people, how painful this can be. He says, that's not to be the way it is with you. And like I said before, it spreads just like wildfire. A professor at Princeton University ran an experiment to test the velocity of gossip. He called six students to his office and in strict confidence informed them that the Duke and Duchess of Windsor were planning to attend a certain university dance at Princeton. Within a week, this completely fictitious story had reached more than 2,000 students. City officials phoned the university demanding to know why they had not been informed, and press agencies were frantically phoning for more details. The professor observed, "That was a pleasant rumor. A slanderous one travels even faster." Do you realize the harm that this does to people, any type, that way? I want to close with just simply the words of Joe Stoll. He said, "For us, the choice is clear. We can chomp down on every bit of gossip that comes along and participate in all the backbiting that is involved in slander. Or we can cleanse our palates with love and practice the genuine freedom that is available only to God's children. Ask anyone who knows. The second option will leave a much better taste in your mouth." Don't gossip. Don't slander. Let's pray. Father, this kind of sin is so natural to us, so much part of our upbringing, the way we interact with people, that for many of us, we're not even aware of gossip when we're gossiping. Make us more sensitive to that and understanding each and every situation. The people we talk about, Father, are those who were created in your image. These are the very people that Jesus Christ died on the cross for. They have enormous value to you, and they should have value to us. So, Father, use your Spirit to convict us when we get off course, not just speaking gossip, but listening to it as well. Father, you have told us in your word today that gossip is very serious to you. It's more serious to you than sins that are much more serious to us. But Father, that's our fallen nature. That's the deception of the human heart. We deceive ourselves into thinking that the sins that we readily commit aren't so bad. And the sins that we would never commit, they're the worst. But Father, you and I both know it just takes one sin to separate a person from you forever. And that Jesus Christ bore all the sins. And every sin in and of itself is extremely serious. Strengthen us, encourage us, and help us as we decide to live out our lives without gossip and slander as part of it. We pray this for our good and for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.